Hello again, and welcome to the second episode of Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. I'm Dylan Langell. I appreciate you pressing play at riversidespeedway.ca or clicking download on iTunes. Now you can download Victory Laps on your phone with the Apple Podcast app or iTunes on your computer. Last month, I had the pleasure of chatting with Jerry Lawrence, the voice of Riverside International Speedway. Check it out in the archives if you missed it last month. It's a double whammy for episode 2. Racing season is on the horizon, and it's time to strap in for the big events coming up at Riverside, including the IWK 250 Super Race Weekend. On that note, earlier this week, it was made official. Kenny Wallace is coming back to defend his IWK 250 title. I'll chat with Kenny about returning to Nova Scotia, what he's been up to, what you can expect from Herman in July, plus some of your questions from the Riverside International Speedway Facebook page and Twitter page. It's your chance to win an autographed Kenny Wallace shirt and hero card. Also, owner of Riverside International Speedway and son of John Chisholm, Donald Chisholm will join me to chat about Kenny Wallace returning to the IWK 250, plus the ins and outs on the best stock car race in Canada. On that note, let's chat with our first guest for episode 2 of Victory Laps, Kenny Wallace. He is a part of one of the most famous racing families in all of auto racing, NASCAR legend, broadcasting legend, and winner of the 2018 IWK 250. Kenny Wallace is on the second episode of Victory Laps. Hello from Canada, Kenny.
Well, hello, and I'm down here from wonderful Daytona Beach, Florida, and I'm excited to be on your show.
Well, it's probably a lot warmer than here in the Great White North, but has it been cold in part of that polar vortex in Missouri?
We've had a little bit of everything down here. I left a -9 St. Louis, Missouri, and we have had everything thrown at us this year, just cold, snow, rain.
A little bit of everything, eh?
You got it.
And 2019, big year for you. You're racing practically full-time. It's a new life, as you said on Facebook earlier. How is that going for you?
Oh, you know, it's going good. Dale Earnhardt Jr. Now, listen, I'm not name-dropping. I'm just telling you. Dale Jr. is a good friend of mine. And he says, Herman, that's my nickname.
Yeah.
He says, we're all going to be watching you to see how you pull this off. So I'm thrilled to death. I have been very lucky in life. You know, I put away my money, and, you know, we race our dirt car on sponsorship money. So first and foremost, we had to, you know, categorize our money, and then we ended up having to draw a plan out that took about a year and a half. And we've got 2019 ready to go. We've got all our sponsors lined up. I'm excited about it. And I would say by next week, we're going to go ahead and put all our appearances out on our social media. And that will not include Kenny Wallace Racing, which is my Toyota modified. So everything's all done. Sponsors are all in. I think what a lot of people are doing is they're wanting to know if I'm going to miss TV. And I'm not. TV was wonderful for me. But as I told everybody, I was lonely. I was depressed. I was sad. I was spending Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night in those hotel rooms by myself all the time. So I had to change my life, and we did just that. But everything's going great.
And cat's out of the bag. You are coming back to Nova Scotia, to Riverside International Speedway. You're coming back to the IWK 250.
I'm incredibly excited about it. It's only appropriate for me to come back there and compete against those great race car drivers again. And, you know, the number one thing that made it so much fun for me is the fans. They were so nice. You know, we were there for 5 days. You know, I came in on, I think, a Tuesday or a Wednesday. We got rained out about lap 70 on Saturday night, finished the race up on Sunday, and every day I was there. I mean, even with the partying in the, you know, inside the racetrack on, I believe, Friday night or Thursday night, they were just so good to me. And beautiful country, and I'm really excited to come back.
So how did it come to be in 2018 that you're coming to the east coast of Canada to race at Riverside?
Yeah, that's a really good story. My dear friend Mark Martin, you know, he's from Batesville, Arkansas, mm-hmm. You know, a little south of Missouri. So, you know, they just, Mark was up there, and Mark Martin and Donald Chisholm got together And Mark Martin said, Donald, you really got to get Kenny Wallace there. He's Kenny Wallace is misunderstood. He's a great race car driver. The fans like him. And Donald said, really? So sure enough, I come up there, and, we finished third in the race, and we have a good time. And Donald looked at me when the race was over, and he says, Mark Martin was right. And, I won a lot of races, but my personality is bigger than the race car, so a lot of people think of me as a TV guy. In reality, I've won a boatload of races. And, my brother Rusty says it best, and my nickname's Herman Rusty. He says, Herman, you got to remind people. They remember what they want to. But, we did win 9 Xfinity races and run second in the Cup Series about 3 times. Now, I'm not a great driver, but I am a good winning driver. So, it was no surprise, for me to jump back in those cars. I grew up in those cars. And the key to me running third was the practice. It took me about 3 hours to get my steering wheel adjusted, and I had a great crew chief. And, so it was Mark Martin. He's the one that got me up there.
And that was your first time here in Nova Scotia?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a beautiful part of the country. If I'm ever going to go to Nova Scotia, it would probably be, on a cruise ship coming into Halifax. I mean, that is a beautiful part of the country. But now, I've raced in Canada, Cayuga,
yep.
In my ASA car, and, of course, Montreal, in the, NASCAR car running Circuit Villeneuve, and I love Canada. Of course, raced all the way on the other side, over there. I mean, I raced in Canada a lot, even in dirt racing,
mm-hmm.
Estevan, but I've never been that far northeast.
So what was your first impressions coming to Riverside? It's a track that was styled after Bristol Motor Speedway, a little smaller, third of a mile. What did you think?
I was impressed how clean the facilities were and how clean that part of the country was. I was very impressed how clean everything was. No mess, track maintained, fan-friendly, everybody happy, and on a good fun. I was impressed how much alcohol content there was in the Bud Light. That caught me off guard.
It's the Canadian beer.
Yeah, that Canadian Bud Light, which is made in Anheuser-Busch in St. Louis, Missouri. We're like it. I think we're 2.5 or 3, whatever. And that stuff, the Bud Light that I drink in the States is, like I say, 2-3%. I think it's up into 5%.
And mm-hmm.
I drank about 3 Bud Lights, and I thought, what is going on here? I've caught the buzz. I looked, and I said, holy moly. We had a good time that night.
It's the opposite for me. I went to Daytona back in 2016, and going from Canada to America, it's like, this is a little watered down here.
Yes, 100%. It is watered down. Yep, you guys got it going on. That's why I love Canada. That's why. Hey, you just took the words out of my mouth. That's why I love Canada so much. You all know how to party.
Yes, we do. And the week last year of the IWK 250, you raced in the Cat Car for Kids. It's all in support of the IWK Foundation. And one of the cool things I saw you do on social media was visit the IWK Hospital in Halifax. What was that experience like for you with the race supporting a children's hospital?
Well, I was explaining the story of why it is the IWK 250. It's a wonderful story. I would say, in the United States, we have something equal called Shriners Hospital. So the IWK 250, with the IWK, the Children's Hospital, is near and dear to my heart. I have 3 daughters that are extremely healthy. I'm very fortunate, and I'm humbled. And, to go see those children and let them know and look them in the eyes and tell them I love them, put my arms around them. I'm a lover. Anyway, I'm a little bit corny. I am a man's man, but I understand that we all need love. Everybody does, even a tough guy. He'll never admit it, whoever that tough guy is. But, me going to the IWK hospital, I'm there to let those kids know I love them. And that was a wonderful day. That morning we got up, we went, and I had the time of my life.
So come race day on the Saturday, you already mentioned, we get going, and around lap 75, Mother Nature decides to rain in Antigonish, so the race gets pushed back. And how was the race overall? I know you do dirt racing full-time, and did you mention before that was one of your first asphalt races in a while?
That's another thing right there. You just said it. You guys call it ASH, A-S-H, ASH. I had to get used to that. I'm like, what is ash? Is that a different thing? No, it's the same thing. We just call it ash. And I thought, you know, that really is the way it's pronounced. So that was another thing that caught me off guard. That was pretty cool.
Is it the Canadian accent?
No, it's the way it's pronounced. It's pretty cool. But, you know, my brother Rusty went over to Europe, and he said they have this stuff called aluminium.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, silly, it's aluminum.
it's aluminum but, here in Canada, too.
Yeah, well, over in Europe, they call it aluminium, which I thought was pretty cool. But, you know, that race got going, and I believe that was definitely my first asphalt race in about 2 or 3 years. But remember now, you got to remember, I've run, you know, a lot of those races.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remind everybody that. So what was most important for me was that practice, because I wasn't turning the steering wheel. I wasn't turning the wheel hard enough to the left. Actually, I was looking for a quicker steering box, because I was taking my hands and really going from right to left, what I thought was a lot. Well, then I realized I got to turn this wheel more. So we came into the pits. You know, everybody was practicing, the whole field, right? So I come in and I say, hey, give me a half-inch wrench and a couple of Allen wrenches. And what I did was I lowered the steering wheel and I pulled it all the way back to me, and so I could easily turn the wheel more. And that was key. I'm telling you, that was key to my success, to something that simple. And then I worked really hard with my team on the chassis. We made a lot of adjustments. Never really got the car exactly the way I wanted it, but what happened was, you know, when they dropped that green flag at nighttime, I was pushing, I was tight. And, you know, I got stuck on the outside. Then the rains came. What happened to me was we went green flag on that Sunday, and it was like 80 degrees out, really hot. That favored my chassis. Everybody started getting loose. They had to slow up to go into the corner, and my car was tight. And it came to neutral. And, buddy, I'll tell you what, they caught me on the outside a couple of times, but with about 100 laps to go, I'm running 16. And little by little, I'm just picking off the car every 5 laps. And I'm like, holy moly, I'm catching the leader. I jackled one boy a pretty long time. I keyed to him, you know, over the radio. I said, hey, the boy needs to move out of the way. I'm going to pop him in that butt here a little bit. and he was a good racer, though. And then, if I wouldn't have taken so much time to get by him, but I finally had to lift him up a little bit. I didn't want to do it, but I had a chance to win the race. So now we're running third with about 10 laps to go. And I started catching him, and then that was it. I was done, you know. So we finished third about a half a straightaway behind the leader. And, you know, that's a pretty little track. So we was a half a straightaway behind the leader, run third, and 46 cars showed up, or 36.
A bunch.
Too many. And I was really proud of that. I thought that was a good run. Then about a month later, we go out to Stockton, California. Same car, same deal. Run second.
Wow.
And, run second. Same deal out there. The guy that won the race was illegal. He had taken his motor apart. They caught him. And these guys in these 604 crates, they just don't leave him alone. And I'd rather these boys be legal.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So you were in Eldora with coverage of the truck race on the dirt track, and you find out, hey, Kenny Wallace is the winner after first and second place get thrown out. Your reaction?
Well, I knew it. I knew it about 4 hours after the race, but they had to go through all the legal process for everybody to understand. You know, it's something that we would have liked, you know, to all know, you know, all of us, right? All our sponsors, everybody. So, you know, I guess their boosters were too big in the carburetor. So you run the race, they took us top five in a fenced-in area, you know, and they took everybody's carburetors, everybody's ignition boxes. It's a big race. They go through hard inspection. So it looks like NASCAR learned from that.
Yeah.
NASCAR announced this year they're going to do the same thing. They're going to announce the winner 90 minutes after the race.
That's some pretty big news.
Yeah, and I think that's what everybody needs to do now.
You are actually only the second guest driver to win the IWK 250. Regan Smith is the other driver. And now you're coming back in 2019 to defend your title. I'm sure you want to win it right at the end, and you get the trophy at the end, too.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, there's one reason I'm coming back, because they all deserve a chance to beat my butt. You know, and that's what I expect, you know. Remember now, I race for a living. I'm a racer, and I understand psychology too. So I want to give them the opportunity no different than a boxing match. So I really finished third, right?
Yeah.
But did I really finish third, right?
Mm.
Did they have an advantage?
Right. Yeah.
It was my car automatically slower because I, you see what I mean? So now they have to have the opportunity to come back and show everybody that you know, they won legally. The best thing that can happen in this scenario is the man that won the race comes back and wins it legally. And because he's such a great race car driver. He's one of the best in, you know, in everywhere. The guys that run first and second, they're so good. And, you know, so we all want to see them come back, you know, and whoop me legally. And, you know, I can't wait to go up there and race them.
Well, do you think you can win two IWK 250s in a row?
Well, hell yes. I wouldn't be coming up there if I didn't think so. Why would I come to a race thinking I was going to lose?
Ain't nobody
come to a racetrack thinking, hey, we're going to go lose. Let's go lose.
Well, we look forward to you coming here. And just a couple more questions, Kenny. Food-wise, did you have any maritime delicacies?
You know what? One night, I drank a little too much beer. Next morning, I woke up, and about 2 o'clock in the day, and I'm still hanging out. And they gave me a really nice drink. What was it? I forgot the name of it, but I know it looked like a it was red.
I think it's a Caesar. I think I remember seeing that Instagram post.
Caesar.
A Caesar.
Caesar. That was very important to me. Hey, let me tell you something. That Caesar, that's something that I made famous down here in the States. I said, man, they got a drink up there that is just incredible. So I think that's the one that caught me off guard. That was awesome.
Did you have any lobster?
Well, you know, we did. We did, and I'm a huge lobster fan. I love lobster. Now, you know, Nova Scotia, you guys have everything fresh and perfect. And because of that, I'm going to try to talk my wife into coming with me this year because we love that lobster so much.
Oh, she has to. She has to come.
Yes, and I'm hoping she does. Well, my wife's a little shy. You know, I do all the talking for her, as she says. And I asked my wife years ago, I said, honey, why'd you marry me? She said, because you're exciting. I said, give me a hug. So, you know, they say opposites attract. And because my wife's so shy, sometimes she likes to just stay at home, you know.
Right.
And now that she knows I've been there and she's, you know, people have been calling her and, Ken, you got to come. So hopefully she'll come this time.
One thing, if she comes and when you're coming, you got to try Nova Scotia delicacy called a donair. It's almost like a gyro meat on a stick, and it's with tomatoes and onions and a sauce called donair sauce. It's like almost a sweet sauce.
Yep.
Everyone loves them here in Nova Scotia.
Well, another big thing to me is, you know, I do love Tim Hortons coffee, and so a year ago I would get a double-double, you know, 2 milks,
yep,
2 sugars. But now I'm cutting back on my sugar, so I think I'm just going to go 2 milk. And I'm thinking I'll leave the sugar out. I'm getting tough. I'm learning to drink coffee without sugar in it. You know, my sugar's not real high.
Yeah.
Only 107. But that's another favorite of mine in Canada. So we got the lobster, we got the Caesars, and, of course, the legendary Hortons. Ain't that something? I mean, there's a Hortons like every 1 mile. Sometimes there's only half mile.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere.
I love it.
Because people love them. And your social media presence is incredible. You're one of the only drivers I see every day on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and engaging with the fans. Do you think that social media is really important for a driver in 2019?
Oh, it's everything. Everybody's starting to copy me now. You see, they're teaching them what I've done. And I know I sound braggadocious, but that's fine because, you know, I'm not. Listen, I didn't realize I was ahead of my time. You know, Facebook saved my career back in 2009. It started at that time. I sat down with NASCAR, had a talk about it. But, you know, some of the drivers are just, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to say. And so, you know, listen, everything I do is based off social media, you know, for so many reasons. That's another story, you know, but it's just what it is. You know, you see what I do. I have fun doing it.
And where can race fans find you on social media and the internet?
So, you know, if you're on Twitter, you go to Kenny_. That's the line that's on the bottom.
Yeah.
Kenny_Wallace. That's where I'm at. And then if you're on Facebook, see, Facebook only allows you to have 5,000 people on your personal page. So What I learned is they have what's called a fan page.
Yeah.
So if you go on Facebook, you can follow me at Kenny Wallace official page. Then we got about 250,000, and I'm also on Instagram. Same thing. Kenny Wallace 36, I believe is what it is, something like that. You'll find me on there.
Kenny, we have a couple of questions for you from the Riverside International Speedway Facebook page and Twitter page from the fans. Are you ready?
I am ready to go.
We're going to kick this one off with David Lockhead's question. He asks, what is the biggest difference between racing dirt cars and the pro stock cars?
The biggest difference is when you miss your mark in a dirt car, in a corner, you can still recover and lead the race. If you miss your mark in an asphalt car, you really slowed up a lot and you're going to lose a lot of positions. So you have to be much more precise with an asphalt car.
Munsey Racing on Twitter asks you, Kenny, what is the best part of Riverside International Speedway on or off the track?
The people, for sure. I'll never forget our Thursday night party, and that Bud Light was 5.5%, and about 3 Bud Lights in, I was like, oh my. And I looked at the can, and I started laughing, and so did everybody else. But, yeah, the fans, they make Riverside great.
Alex Novak on Facebook asks, how do you prepare mentally for a race?
Focus. You know, make sure that I tune everybody else out, and I'm very good at doing that. Put the phone away, you know, pay attention to my race car, just one thing, the race car and the racetrack. And, you know, I've been able to do it for quite a while now. Sometimes our minds can wander, but for the most part, I'm pretty good at doing it.
And the final question from Larry Arbo, he asks, what was it like to race with the Earnhardts, Dale and Dale Jr.?
I didn't realize it at the time, but it was an experience of my life. You know, when I raced with Dale Earnhardt Jr., you know, at the time he was a good young kid, up and coming, and he arrived on the scene so fast and caught me off guard with his talent. When I raced with his father, the great Dale Sr., as everybody knows, myself and Dale Sr. finished, you know, first and second at Talladega for his last win. And, you know, Dale Sr. was such a good friend of mine, and I believe that's one reason myself and Dale Jr. stay in such close contact. I heard Dale Jr. say one time, I tend to be fans of the drivers and fans that were, you know, my dad's friend. So, you know, he was just a wonderful person. Dale Sr. gave me my very first, you know, ride in NASCAR. I drove the number 8 GM Goodrich Chevrolet at Martinsville, finishing, I believe it was 9th or 12th. So he was just a good man. So many stories to say about Dale Sr.
And because we picked those questions, they all win a Kenny Wallace autographed shirt and hero card from last year.
That's awesome. You know, I'm so excited to be back up there in 2019 and see all my friends again, and have another great IWK 250.
And is there anything you would like to say to the racing fan in the Maritimes who may be on the fence about watching the IWK 250 in person this year?
Yeah, come back and watch this rivalry. Those guys that got thrown out, they're going to want to beat my butt. Come watch them. We're going to go at it. Come watch them show me that they can win this race legal.
July 17th and through July 20th, the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. That's the date. Kenny Wallace will be there. And Kenny, thank you for joining us on the second episode of Victory Lap, celebrating the 50th anniversary of this racetrack, Riverside International Speedway.
Well, you said it. I'm really honored to be able to come up there for the golden anniversary, the 50th anniversary. It's going to be awesome.
Thank you very much, Kenny.
Okay, thank you, buddy.
And now I'm chatting with owner of Riverside International Speedway and son of the founder of Riverside, John Chisholm. Donald Chisholm now joins me on the second episode of Victory Labs. Hi there, Donald.
Hi there. How's it going tonight?
Well, very good. It's, you know, winter in 2019 in Nova Scotia. What can we expect, really, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think everybody's anxious to see winter get going and maybe spring roll around for some racing.
Oh, we're
happening.
We're ready for racing. And I just spoke to Kenny Wallace, who is officially the guest driver for the 2019 running of the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis Auto Body. Very exciting.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice to get the announcement done. It's been in the works a little bit since, obviously, he was here last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, under some of the circumstances that played out last year, he showed an interest in wanting to come back and try the event again. So, you know, he was super well received by the fans, and everybody seemed to have a good time with him, and he made so much time for everybody. So it seemed to make sense, and sort of, you know, really look forward to having him back this year. And, you know, it's good too, because since he's been here prior, it's not a new, you know, there's no learning curve per se. He knows what kind of equipment he'll be in and where he's going and the people he'll be working with. So stuff should be a little even more straightforward again this year, hopefully.
In every IWK 250, we have guest drivers, whether they are current NASCAR driver or a legend. But how important is it to the event to have someone who raced on the top series in North America for racing?
You know, I think it's helpful for the event. It maybe adds another, I don't know, level of excitement or interest, perhaps. Obviously, for fans, it's an opportunity to maybe see one of their drivers they may have liked or certainly heard of or knew of, maybe get an autograph easier at Riverside than you could if you're fortunate enough to go to a cup event. So there's that aspect to it. It's been neat visiting the hospital as well. So, you know, a lot of those kids are very appreciative to be able to have somebody, drivers of that level, I guess, come and visit them. Given some of the tough situations they're facing. So I think it's interesting and exciting on that level. And I think probably as a driver, you know, without speaking for other guys, that, you know, it's always nice to sort of see how you stack up against guys that get paid to do this stuff for a living. And, you know, some of them get paid fairly well on a fairly big stage. So, you know, it's not always equal footing, because these guys are coming in and racing cars that, you know, our regular guys, our local guys are familiar with, and that's their everyday equipment. These guys are more than capable, obviously, but there's always that new car, new track, new crew. The tire is probably a different tire, so there's a lot of new things to overcome. So the fact that these guys can come in and do, you know, as well as they have is also impressive. So I guess that's why it's neat for the event. You know, some years it's easier than others to get drivers. Some years is a real struggle, and it just depends on schedules. And you know, we do ask a fair bit of them. We like them to travel Wednesday and appear at the hospital Thursday. Friday is, you know, a bit of an open day, but we actually sort of need them Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then ask them to stay for Sunday in case of rain. So, you know, that's a longer commitment than a lot of their paid weekends are. So, anyway, it's cool for the event. It's just nice to see a bit of the publicity, and they've been great spokespersons for the event. So it's all good.
And how important is it to bring the car to the IWK hospital in Halifax?
Well, again, it's a chance for, you know, some kids to maybe the first time ever see a race car up close and in person, and they all get a chance to sign it. So that's kind of cool. You know, I'm not sure how many of them that have saw the car at the hospital have made it to the event, but, you know, the fact that I think they all recognize that their names are, you know, on a car that has a potential to win the event, and it's sort of the event car, if you will, playing off the CAT association and also with the hospital. So, you know, it's an interesting, you know, kind of a tough visit to the hospital sometimes, just because, you know, there's some pretty tough situations out there. So it really shows, I guess, how fortunate you can be when you've got your health. So, you know, it's just nice to bring those guys and give the kids a little bit of a chance to talk to a real race car driver, and they can ask them all kinds of questions about Daytona and driving fast and Dale Earnhardt and, you know, all mm-hmm. the good regular stuff. So it's good.
And the whole concept of the IWK 250 revolves around your daughter, Emily. And what does that mean to you that this still continues in 2019?
No, it's just, you know, it's incredible. And I guess that was always the goal. And, you know, I guess that's why there's the connection, I guess, between our family and the IWK and among others. That's the main one. But I think it just touches so many families in the whole, you know, maritime region. And, you know, they just do some really good work and amazing things there. So, you know, I guess that was just a bit of a way to maybe show some recognition or payback, if you will, for looking after our family back at that time. So that's cool. And then, again, the goal has always been to make it one of the premier super late model events to try and win, you know, basically in North America. And those things take time. And, you know, we've got a long history, and it's a cool history. But I think it's important to keep trying to build it and make it one of those races that guys sort of circle their calendar and want to try and come and win.
Now let's talk about the racing. It, as you said, premier race in all of North America. And you're a past champion. You won in 2016. What did that mean to you to win this race?
To be honest with you, we were so close so many times prior. I honestly didn't know if it was ever going to happen. It was, you know, we probably gave one away, a couple cruel timed cautions. Just, it seemed like if there was something terrible to take place, it was going to happen. And I mean, I think one year we led 238 of the 250 laps and didn't win. So it, I don't know if we tried too hard or overthought it or what, but I don't know. It just came together that year in 2016. And you know, we had I'd say a fairly dominant car that night, but, you know, not 238 laps dominant, but I guess it only really matters to lead the last lap. And, Finally, 2016, we did, because man, that was a tough one. And you know, every year that goes by that, you know, you've got a car that's, you know, capable of winning, and you don't, you know, you always question, or at least I do, you know, next year will we have a car that's this good? Is our setup going to be good enough? You know, are we just going to have the opportunity to win? Because, you know, you'd show up to all the races to win, but there's only a certain amount that you legitimately, you know, have car enough to win. So to give up on those chances or not have them come through, it's tough, you know, when you got to wait 12 full months for it to try and roll back around again. So, I don't know, still get as much pressure on, I guess, to win the second one. And last year just didn't go our way, and not every year does, of course, but... Anyway, I think we've got a good shot at it again this year. And, you know, as long as there's big car counts and the quality of cars that have been showing up, it's a tough deal to win. So you have to have your stuff correct, stuff as good as it can be, and I guess be the best that's the best or the luckiest that's there that day.
Can you beat Kenny Wallace?
Sure, of course.
That's what you always got to say, but
yeah,
because that car comes out of your camp, so it comes down to the driver, pretty much, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, it does, and it does. I don't know. It's funny. So last year we actually had two separate, different setups. Kenny's car was a little bit different than mine. Kenny was pretty good. We were pretty bad, and eventually we did change it over to what Kenny had. Unfortunately, the heat races qualifying had already taken place, so this was all done sort of between heat races qualifying and the start of the feature. So we didn't get a huge long run that Saturday night, and then it rained. So the rest of it was the next afternoon, and I think we only ran about 17 or 18 laps, and I had a mechanical, like the throttle linkage basically spun on a shaft. It should have been tight. It wasn't. It spun, slipped. So I had no more throttle, and that was pretty much the end of our night. So I never did get a chance to race Kenny. All things being equal, the cars maybe should have been about similar handling. So, yeah, it would have been fun and real cool to try and get up there and race him. You know, he had a solid car all weekend and just, like he said, kept grinding away at things. And all of a sudden, he's at the front at the end of the show.
You have this year to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And certainly hope to. So I think it'd be a lot of fun. I get a lot of opportunity to watch him because I was parked and watched the events that are racing in it. So, but he's real, real patient, very methodical. So, you know, wasn't hard to tell. He's got tons of experience and just waited to. He didn't put his car or himself in any or very many awkward positions and just, you know, let it come to him, if you will. So it was cool to watch. Like I say, I'd much rather have been racing him for the win and hopefully we'll get both cars running well at the first of the weekend instead of taking all weekend to do it.
July 17th through July 20th, the 13th running of the IWK 250. And one final question, Donald. It's the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway. What does it mean to you that your father's vision is still flourishing in 2019?
You know, again, it's pretty cool to think it's still rolling along as it is. Again, that was just one of his goals was to put something in place that would be there and function, you know, for many years to come in the rebuild in 2006. So, you know, I guess if you do things right, they last. So that was, I guess, his goal and his vision was to put something there that would serve the race fans, Maritime race fans for long, many years to come. So, yeah, it's cool, and I guess the trick is just to keep doing good stuff and, you know, giving the guys a good spot to come race and put on a good show for the fans.
And we look forward to all the racing at Riverside International Speedway this year, including the IWK 250, which you could maybe win your second one.
Yeah, that sounds good. We'll we'll pencil that in for July 20th this year.
Donald, thank you so much for joining me on the second episode of Victory Lap, celebrating the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway.
I appreciate it. Thanks a million, and we'll see you guys soon.
A big thanks again to both Donald Chisholm and Kenny Wallace for stopping by for a chat about the upcoming IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. If we picked your question off the Riverside International Speedway Facebook page or Twitter page, contact sales@riversidespeedway.ca to claim your t-shirt and hero card. Okay, let's get into it. There's lots to talk about, including the IWK 250 weekend. Firstly, IWK 250 weekend passes are now available. They will offer you a significant discount compared to single day pricing and are available as general admission for all 3 days or general admission for Thursday, Friday, and reserve seating on Saturday for the IWK 250 weekend. Prices and the order form can be found online at riversidespeedway.ca. If you had a premium seat last year and you want to renew it for this season, please visit the website and submit the renewal form. If you did not have a premium seat last year, but you would like one this year, you can submit a new request form also online at riversidespeedway.ca. Premium seats that are not renewed by March 31st will be offered to those making new requests. Also, another friendly reminder, IWK 250 campsite renewals are due by March 31st. That's the deadline for the campsite renewals, and it's fast approaching. So if you don't have yours in yet, go online to riversidespeedway.ca and renew your site. The 2019 schedule has been finalized, and let me tell you, it is jam-packed for the 50th anniversary. We kick things off on June 8th, the season opener for Riverside with the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour and the Napa Sportsman Series. Moving ahead to July 18th, it's the IWK 250 Test Fest and Tailgate Party. On Friday, July 19th, the Napa Sportsman Series returns once again along with the Maritime League of Legends. And on Saturday, July 20th, it's the IWK 250 presented by Steve Lewis. Looking ahead at August 16th, the Napa Sportsman Series returns once again along with the East Coast Mini Stock Tour. Then on Saturday, August 17th, NASCAR's Canadian Touring Series, the NASCAR Pinty Series, comes to play at Riverside along with the Maritime
Maritime League of Legends. And finally, the season finale on September 7th when the Parts for Trucks Pro Stock Tour stops by once again, along with the Napa Sportsman Series and the East Coast Mini Stock Tour. More details for each event will be announced as soon as they become available, and in the next couple of weeks, we have an exciting announcement for the season opener on June 8th, so stay tuned for that. And of course, it's the 50th anniversary for Riverside International Speedway, and we are celebrating with Throwback Thursday, which we're going to be running all year. You're going to find tributes, trivia, and a lot more on our website and social media pages, all geared to pay tribute to those who have made a significant contribution to our history. And if you have a suggestion, we'd love to hear it. If you have old photos or videos, we would love to see them, particularly if they're from 1969 to 1989. Please email them to info@riversidespeedway.ca. And all that info I just threw at you, you can find all of it on the website, riversidespeedway.ca. That was a jam-packed episode. I'm Dale Vellangel, and thank you very much for listening to the second episode of Victory Laps, part of the Throwback Thursday celebrations for the 50th anniversary of Riverside International Speedway.